So this is an exciting thing for a priest to get to preach on Easter Sunday morning. And I always worry that I'm going to get too excited and I'm going to end up sounding like Howard Dean. So I hope I don't do that this morning. But forgive me if I do. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, and as he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. Just over a year ago, after a hectic morning routine of getting our kids dressed, fed, and loaded up in the minivan, I was in the car with our three children headed to school and preschool. And on this particular morning, I heard the voice of one of my children pipe up from behind me. And this child asked, "Daddy, can I ask you a question?" As you might imagine, I never know where this is going to lead. But I answered affirmatively. The voice said, "Daddy, where did God die?" And I responded, "What do you mean?" The voice responded, "I mean, where in the world did God die? Like Greenville or South Carolina? Or do you mean," I interrupted, "do you mean where did Jesus die?" "Yes. What place?" And I responded, "Jesus died in Israel, in the city of Jerusalem." The response that I got was, "Can we go there?" And I explained that I hoped that we would go there someday, but that it was a big trip. And I explained that I didn't know when it would happen. But I also explained that when I had been in college, I had had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem when I was a student at Furman. And I would be happy to get out the photo book and show him pictures and show them pictures of the places where Jesus died. And then there was silence. And so I followed up with a question. "Why do you want to go there?" The response that I received was, "I want to see it. But not just look at the pictures, Daddy. I want to see what it feels like." I sure do hope that one day I can see what it feels like for this child. And I don't mean merely what it feels like to stand in Jerusalem at the Rock of Calvary in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which tradition holds as the spot where Jesus was crucified, because having been there in the midst of the bustle and busyness of that place, I'm not sure that that's the feeling being sought. But I think rather that the feeling sought is a feeling that we all desire. And it is a feeling that we can imagine the women felt as they stood before that empty tomb in the passage that we just heard. Not the feeling of fear that, like the guards, they must have felt in the midst of that earthquake when an angel descended from heaven and rolled back the stone, nor the feeling of perplexity that they might have felt as they gazed into the tomb and saw that it was empty. But rather the feeling that settled upon them as they heard and considered the words that the angel spoke. "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come. See the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples He has been raised from the dead. It is difficult to imagine how they felt in that moment. But Matthew tells us that after hearing these words, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell the other disciples. And the word for fear here is one that is associated with a kind of panic that puts one to flight. You might associate it with the experience of being overwhelmed with news that overtakes your understanding of reality and puts all caution to the wind. Prior to that moment, we have no way of knowing what they had thought of Jesus' earlier statements about how he would die and rise from the grave. Perhaps they dismissed it as impossible and had forgotten about it. Perhaps they wanted to believe it, but it seemed too good to be true, and so they refused to get their hopes up. Perhaps they had believed him. But the events of the week prior, Jesus' shocking betrayal, abrupt arrest, horrible torture, bloody crucifixion, and agonizing death had crushed their hope. Perhaps they held on to their hope until they saw his body taken down from the cross, wrapped in linen and placed in a tomb, and a stone rolled in front of it. Perhaps it was only then that they finally decided to wipe the hope from their minds. Whatever happened, this passage makes it clear that once they heard the words from the angels, they knew that the world had changed forever. What they had understood as a crushing and brutal end, their friend and teacher's crucifixion, could now be recognized as a precursor to the greatest truth that has ever been told. Their friend and their teacher was their Lord. And then, as they raced to tell the others, there he stood before them. He is alive. And overcome with joy and gratitude at his greeting, they fell down, touched his feet, and worshiped him. There they knelt at the turning point of history, the event around which all the human experience revolves. Nothing that came before and nothing that will happen after would ever be the same. The dark forces of sin, violence, and death were forever defeated. Though they might continue to rule in this world, the end of the story was right there before them. Love wins. This is what we gather here this morning to feel, to proclaim, to embrace, to know at the very center of our being. It is the truth upon which all hope in history stands. May you feel that truth this morning in the midst of all that is good and glorious. In the midst of the love and joy that bring us to this moment. In the midst of the beauty and splendor that continually bursts forth from the empty tomb to embrace us all right here, right now. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia.